welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right. I had a great weekend last weekend, not because I wasn't with you, but I was down in Horsham because I was invited to speak down there. I'd been at a meeting in London at the Institute of Directors on Pall Mall. I felt very posh. I wasn't allowed to wear jeans. I actually had to buy a suit to wear because I really didn't have a lot other than jeans, as you may have noticed. So I bought a suit and went to the meetings. And it was a great day. That was with Mal Fletcher. But I'm not going to tell you much about that. But Sunday was a really interesting day. Now, if you don't know much about Kingdom Faith, Kingdom Faith's main base, if you like, although we're autonomous and a separate charity, spiritually they're our headship. And they're based in Horsham. The leader, overall leader down there is Colin Urquhart. And the sort of driving force these days who really leads the work is his son, Clive Urquhart. And so I was speaking at the church that's based there. They have two services, one at 9:30 and one at 11. And it was just interesting. I sat with one of the other leaders on the front row, Jonathan Dyke, for those of you that know him. And he said, there's such excitement and expectation here this morning. And I thought, oh, that's unusual. You know, it's really great that people are excited that someone from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire has gone down to Horsham. There was once upon a time when everything happened in Horsham. It's not so anymore, because it can't be so, because we're one church in many locations. So everything's got to be, there's different breakthroughs and different things happening in different places. And when we come together, it's bang. You know, so anyway, I was down there, and the first service began. They wanted the worship short. Clive was told everybody to keep it short and snappy because they wanted to get me on with the word. And bless them, they got all the teaching we've been having from Luke condensed. I got in everything that I could, all the highlights. You probably might enjoy listening to it yourselves, because it would be like a review of everything that God's taken us through recently. The highlights, maybe. But so I spoke on that. I think it was actually about 50 minutes, so it was a bit longer than I expected. But there was a lot to get in, because Clive had also said, I've got to tell stories. So I was telling lots of stories about what God had been doing here and stuff like that. And really brought that message that God has been giving to us. You know, the one of God as Father, that shocking thing at the start of that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, Father. You know, the reaction of the disciples at that time, oh, this is relationship. And the whole thing of God's favor that God has had upon us, which we haven't really been mentioning, but it's just part of everything that's going on. And that Jesus heals all. You know that thing that we went to, do you remember the one day I went through 11 chapters of Luke in one Sunday? It was a miracle. You know, but it was that release of what I wanted to get over was Jesus healed them all. 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 Because Jesus heals them all. You know, why settle for anything less? And as it turned out, this was going to be very important for people in the church that morning. Also, the message, I'm sort of giving it to you as well, because I want to bring you in on what happened, because this is not me going down there. This is me representing us going down there. If I was up here on my own, there'd be nothing. You know, but because we're in this together, because we're sharing faith and life together, because we're striving to love one another, be community together, and pay a price of seeing Jesus made known in our town, when I go with everybody behind me. You know, and if you weren't behind me, nothing would happen. I'm so aware of that. And it's the same if we send other members of the congregation to other places. I go to Horsham, Nigel goes to the Congo. I get the best deal. Nigel thinks otherwise because he loves going there. It would scare me silly. It might have scared him silly, some of the stuff was going on. But So I'm down there, and so I'm bringing that word. And I used an example that I've used here before, but somehow it just opened something that morning. It's an example that can be misused. You know, the example of a chair, relating it to faith. So let's do it again. Shall we do it again? Say yes, please. Yeah. Thank you, you're lovely. Right, when you came in today and you sat down, you didn't check the chair out first. You didn't think, yes, what's that? Oh, yeah, check it out. Is it strong enough? Will it take my weight? Is there going to be enough back support for how long Pastor Paul's going? Oh, well, that's questionable. But, you know, you didn't check the chair out, you just sat on it. Now, I don't believe you had faith in the chair, because faith in objects is going to let you down. But what you really had faith in is the fact that you trust that people design chairs to take people's weight. You didn't go through it consciously, you just did it. You just took action because you knew that's a chair. You recognised it by its design. Something in your upbringing over many, many years means you can spot a variety of things, sometimes even really weird-looking stuff, and you still know that's a chair. You recognise the work of a designer, don't you? And so you sat on it. But also, it's okay having designers, but you need someone who's made the chair. But your experience of chairs, and there may have been the odd one that wasn't so good, but because they're just chairs, but your experience of chairs tell you that chairs are made for people to sit on. So you sit on it. You saw the design, you recognised the design, you thought, this isn't what you consciously thought, but somewhere in your head was the thought, I can sit on that. And you knew that whoever made it would have made it well. And there was someone else you trusted, and that was the redeemer or the purchaser. All right, because you trusted that whoever bought these chairs for the church at some point, which wasn't that long ago in our case, it was a very long time ago, we were talking in Horsham, whoever bought them was trustworthy enough to buy chairs that would take the weight of people. All right, so you trusted the designer, the maker, and the redeemer, and you just sat on it. You just took action. The thing is that faith, is that's what faith is, it's taking action. You don't have to think everything about it. You don't have to work it all out. You just trust the designer, the maker, the redeemer, and do it. You sat on it. And nobody fell on their bottoms. Everybody sat safe. Now, this is what it is with God. This is where we're at as well. It's just we need to trust the designer, the maker, the redeemer. You know, we just need to sit on the chair. Because we get so complex about, and perhaps in many ways it spoke to Horsham more than you lot, because they've got a more developed idea in some ways, because a lot of them have been around for a long time. And so to say this to them was, don't overanalyze faith. You know, you can come up with 52 different reasons why someone's not healed, or you can just sit on the chair. Faith is not what you think about. Faith is not what you feel. It's what you do. Faith is an action. This is almost getting to what I was going to speak on today. So this is the third sermon. Because I got 2 Corinthians 5:7 running round and round and round and round and round my head. Some of you will know that one quite well. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes? Do you know that one? The walk... The word walk is where we get our English word peripatetic from. Ever heard of the word peripatetic? You get peripatetic teachers in schools, don't you, that go around usually teaching music. It means travel. It means to be on a journey. So for our journey or our walking of faith is not by what we see. All right? But our journey is by what we believe. So how do you know you believe? You do something. So to leap back to the context of Horsham and where we were going there, because I just want you to see what God's doing in us, because what happens there is what God's doing in us. Hello, John.
Hello.
Is very, very simple message of faith is action, not what you feel like. So I preach that word and I can say to people, so if you want to be healed today, and they don't really have many response stuff down there anymore, they haven't done it for a while, but I just felt this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So if I say to you, come forward to get healed this morning, and you come forward, you've just executed the faith that will get you healed. Why? Because you did it. You believed enough to get out the seat and come forward. And you can go forward thinking, oh, I don't really believe. Scary, or I don't really think anything's going to happen. Nothing ever happens to me. But the fact that you're doing it shows you have faith. It might be very tiny, but then didn't Jesus say you only need a mustard seed? Because it's him. And you take the mustard seed of faith, because it's not faith in our prayers or our healing ability, God forbid. It's faith in the designer, the maker, the redeemer. And the faith, you see, works with the designer, the redeemer, the maker. And so it really doesn't matter whether your faith is this big or the size of Scarborough. When you put your faith next to the Lord, it's still virtually, it isn't, but virtually inconsequential, because he's so huge. That's why you don't need much faith, because it's all him. It's just a mustard seed. That walking forward is sometimes all it takes. The woman that reached through the crowd to grab hold of the hem of his garment. Who knows what was going through her mind? I bet it wasn't all, oh, he's Jesus, I'm going to touch him and everything's going. She was scared that people would spot her because she wasn't supposed to be in the crowd. She was probably thinking, I reckon nothing might happen. I don't know. I'm just going to go for it. I've heard. That was the faith. The action. The grabbing hold of Jesus. Hapto. It means to fasten onto. That's the word grab, hapto. It's the same word used to kindle a fire. And so she took hold of, she fastened onto Jesus, and a fire began in her life. That's what we do when you just make simple responses like walk forward to receive. You're fastening onto the word of God so that a fire can be lit in you. And it's not to do with you, it's to do with him. And he's good at it. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we preach this word, or I preach this word, we, I suppose, because it was the Holy Spirit, really, and gave a call forward. And the response was unbelievable. There were just, I don't know how many are in the service, 300-ish? I'm not really sure these days. This was two. And certainly, I don't know. I must have prayed for between, there's two services, remember. I must have prayed for between 100 and 200 people. There were just so many. And Alex was watching me carefully, of course, because he was there last week. And people came forward, all these people. And it's like, okay, Lord, this is over to you. Because I'm into everyone healed. And I'm not stopping till we all see that. I believe that's God's plan because it's there in the Word. Why haven't we got it? Because we've been living with this collective unbelief. Because we think so much of it is us and whether we're living right enough. But it's grace. It's favour. So whether you're 11 years old or 111 years old is irrelevant. It's just whether you trust God. And how do you know if you trust God? You do something. You just sit on the chair. And they came forward and it was a very interesting thing went on. Apart from the fact that loads and loads of them, hundreds, well over 100 people were healed. I don't know how many, but there was just most, it wasn't everyone, most of the people we prayed for were healed. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And they were mostly things like different aches and pains and weird things. And I just don't understand the Lord because there were loads of backs being healed, which is good, isn't it? But that morning, I was barely able to stand. My back was so painful. And these people say, oh, I've been healed. It's all gone. Can I have a bit? But anyway, that's what was happening. But what was really interesting was this whole thing of coming forward. Because a lot of people hadn't been coming forward. And they hadn't been experiencing. You know, some people, a friend of mine called Karen, she came forward and the peace of God hit her so powerfully. She was shaking and experiencing what was going on. And she was completely overwhelmed by the presence of God. As were many others, but I'm just picking on her. And it was just lovely to see the pressure and things that she'd put on herself. Just like Jesus was going, and I'll take that one now, thank you. And I'll have that one now, thank you very much. You know, there was a lot of crying, a lot of sobbing, a lot of shaking. And some people, there wasn't much at all. I'd walk up to them and they'd just go backwards. They'd be gone. You'd think, oh, well, okay, that must be the Holy Spirit then. I stopped laying hands on most people because I thought they're going to think, because some went down so quickly, I'm thinking they're going to think I'm pushing them. So a lot of them, I took their hand or I might put a finger on. Like that. And that's all I did. Because I didn't want people to think, oh, he just pushes people over. Because a lot of people there weren't used to seeing God moving that way anymore. Because a lot of them knew. And so it was just a finger. And people were beginning to experience God. And I kept the microphone on so that they could hear what people were saying. Because as people heard what people were saying, they were daring to believe God might do something in their life. I mean, people were very, very patient. This was taking a long time. Including the band and the sound team and the leadership as well. So we go all through that. I'll come back to what happened when we were actually praying. And the service finishes at 11. I'm still praying. The next service began at 11:30. I was still praying. They did some worship that sort of fitted in, and I just kept on praying, and people kept on being healed. And then I sat down for about 10 minutes, and then I had to bring the word again. And then that service finished at 1, and we were then praying for people until 3 o'clock. Another 2 hours. But that's how many people were there, you see. But the thing I found interesting, and we must not get into this ourselves, is Pastor Colin, quite correctly, has taught us, and there's nothing wrong with the teaching, it's absolutely right, but it's interesting how we can take something and make it a religious thing. And he's taught that when you pray, believe that you've received because you have the healing. And that's absolutely right. We believe exactly the same. But what I found was, I'd pray for somebody in the line that's come forward with something, and I'd say, "Are you healed?" And they'd say, "Yes, I believe that I am." And I'd say, "But are you still in pain?" "Oh, yeah." "Well, shall we carry on praying then?" "Well, I'm healed, but you're still in pain." Yeah, but I believe that I'm healed." "Well, let's pray on anyway, shall we?" You know, and then very often, for some of the people, the next thing that would happen would be an experience of the Holy Spirit. There was lots of people getting very, very hot and red in the face, quite funny, and just feeling heat intense throughout their bodies. There was a lot of that. And so then they would say, "Well, are you healed yet?" And they say, "Well, I just feel all hot." Or, "It's very hot where the pain was." And, you ever said, "Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the beginning of the healing. Let's be thankful," like you were saying, "I'm healed. Let's be thankful for that. But we're not stopping now just because you had an experience. That's the beginning of the healing happening." Because it's almost like the Holy Spirit is overcoming the lack of faith. And let's say, okay, so everybody, I mean, most of the people were sort of praying. I mean, I did a little bit of our teaching on, you don't pray for healing, you just heal. Which is why a lot of the time I didn't do the laying on of hands, because they're used to that as a form of prayer. So, yeah, very often I just took somebody's hand and let God do whatever. I sometimes said, "What is it you want Jesus to do for you?" That was quite common. And they'd tell me. A lot of it was pain. Lots and lots of it were pain, from headaches to backaches to knee aches to serious illness pain. Again and again and again they would go. But then they'd be just experiencing the warmth, you see. And I'd say, "Well, do you want to be healed?" And sometimes you'd get the response again, "I am healed." "And, well, do you want the pain to go?" "Yeah, I do." "Okay, well, let's pray again." And a lot of people would, interesting, would feel a little bit better. You know, not much. Just say, "Oh, yeah, I think it's a little bit better." And you'd say, "Well, shall we go on?" And they'd say yes. I don't think anybody ever said no. So we'll go on. And then it would be, "Oh, yeah, I'm 50% better. Yeah, I'm 70%. Shall we go on?" They weren't used to this. "Shall we go on? Shall we go on? Shall we take hold of this? Are we letting go now, or do you want everything that the Lord's Prayer says is ours?" So we went for it. And so many would get right up to 100%. There was one young man. He was 18 years old, and he had been injured in a rugby accident when he was 11, and had a real severe pain in his back ever since. And he was interesting to pray for, because to begin with, we got absolutely nowhere. And he was one of the ones towards the end, and it was kind of like, "No, we're not giving up. We're not giving up, even though it's late, even though this has been going on, we're going on." And then suddenly he got a breakthrough, and he began to be healed, and the pain started to go. And we got to 90%, in his definition, of the pain had gone. And he said, "Okay, are we going for 100%? And I think we prayed a couple of times, didn't budge. And then I said, a little bit of Holy Spirit came in, and because Chad was still playing away on the keyboard. I know we don't have a Chad in the supermarkets or a Claire in the supermarkets, but we had him, so we used him. I said to Chad, "Release a healing anointing through the keyboard in the music." Thinking of David playing for Saul, if you know those stories. And so he changed what he was doing, and we stood together, I mean the congregation and I, and released healing into this young man, and bang, he was at 100%. He said, "There's no pain." I mean, people were getting full movement back. They were able to move hands that they hadn't been able to move. People were able to grip again that hadn't been able to grip. A gentleman that was shaking badly, he didn't completely stop shaking, but it was down to a very, very slight shake. You know, I don't know what the shaking was. No idea. I don't think he was sure. But it was vastly reduced. You know? Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, people can carry on being healed afterwards. It's not that it even stops there. And I got an email to read to you here from someone that came in. I thought this was just to give you a bit of feedback from after the weekend, just so you get a picture of it. Having responded to the altar call, I stood there rehearsing the list of ailments I was going to give to Pastor Paul when he came to pray for me. Now, to be fair to her, that's what was happening for a lot of people. I would say, what do you want Jesus to do for you? And I was getting these lists. It wasn't like, I've just come for this. It was that there was a list of things. What was amazing was the lists were being dealt with. He was saying, there's this, 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 and this. And we'd go through the list. But this woman, I didn't really stop to pray with her much, as you'll see. But my God knows all my needs. And when Pastor Paul approached me, I did not need to say anything. The Holy Spirit told him to pray for restoration. He did. I remember. It was the only woman the whole time. I mean, it's a very common word, isn't it? You use it. But I do remember, I only ever did this once. Told him to pray for restoration. I felt the fire of God starting from the top of my head. I like the Holy Spirit hugs. We don't seek just the experiences. That would be pointless. But we love them when they happen. We celebrate when they happen, and we recognize God is at work. It's not God, it is God at work. We don't make a religion out of it, or a thing out of it, or try and make all these things happen. But boy, do we rejoice when they do, and accept them. So anyway, there she is, feeling the fire of God. And three of the four on the list were dealt with immediately. And she says, I believe the fourth is on its way. She doesn't actually tell me to say what the fourth is. The first one was a cold that I've been battling with for 5 weeks. And those close to me will testify, it just did not seem to want to go away. Instant cold healing. That's persisted for five. That's a good one. She had tennis elbow. Constant pain in her elbow. Went. And she had a lump in my armpit. It just disappeared. I pleaded with doctors to have this removed. And because it was non-cancerous, as they did all the tests, he said it would be very painful and the recovery very long with risks, and refused to do it. Thank Jesus, for he is the great surgeon and I no longer have a lump. I mean, a lump's fairly obvious. You either have it or you don't have it, don't you? There were obvious healings like feet straightenings and things like that. Those kind of things that happen that you can't... Well, that's different now. You know? But why is that happening? Because it's happening here. It's amazing what we have. And it's not me, it's us. There is an anointing on me, but it's on us. Yeah. And as God, by his grace, has sort of allowed me to lead this congregation, if you follow me in Christ, not me, but me in Christ, we will all experience these miracles. But it's easy. We've just got to sit on the chair. Ron's got some great stories of his prayed for people and they're healed. You know, don't think I've got to get the words right. The words are irrelevant almost. The words just express what's within us, I suppose. And in that sense, you can sometimes see that what's going on is not like the people saying, well, I believe that I'm healed. It sounds good, but you think, no, that's just a little bit out there. You're just saying it because you want it to happen. And people do things to make happen. You know, people sometimes fall over in the line, not because the Holy Spirit's come on them, as was happening to lots of people, but just because they're trying to make something happen. But do you know what? Sometimes that is what they needed to get healed, because they believe something will happen when they fall over. They're trusting God in the moment they fall over, and they still get healed, because that's just how God works with our foibles. I was saying down in Horsham, a little bit of controversy here. I was saying in Horsham, that's how many relics have seen healings. You know what relics are? Well, you do. You know them well. We both know where there's a huge pile of them, don't we? But a relic is when the church of old, particularly the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholic Church, they used to keep the bones and bits and pieces of saints. Sounds a little bit macabre to our minds. Because that person had been used mightily of God in their time. And so they keep them, and then they will go and pray, and often you'll get stories of miracles happening where the relics are. Why are they getting healed? Because they're using it as an, if it's used correctly, they're using it as an access point for the faith to be released from God. And God in his grace allows that. So the falling over is just a kingdom faith relic. The only thing is quite often you can't stop it. You know? Sometimes I prefer it. If I'm going to go over, Lord, I prefer the nice, gentle ones and somebody just lies me on the floor. Who's had the ones where you just go bang straight over? Yeah, yeah. There's no choice in those ones, is there? There's no thinking, oh, I think I might go over. It's bang. Why does God do that? Because he needs to get you off your feet to stop you thinking about what's going on so you can get your healing sorted. So you can get your attention. It's just us getting in the way. It is also the power of God manifesting in a room. You go and stick your fingers in the electric socket, which is not recommended. Okay, health and safety announcement, do not do this. Hypothetical. Remember that. Do not do it. Young person in the house. But if you were to do it, and you could get through the plastic safety bits, don't try. You would get a shock, which may or may not kill you. It's not a gamble worth trying, but you would certainly experience the power flowing through your body, wouldn't you? Well, if electricity can do something dramatic, how about the power that comes from the very being that caused the entire creation of the universe? Is it not therefore logical that sometimes when that power is flowing through people, they do some things like fall over, shake, or whatever else goes on sometimes? You know, the power of God going through their mind causes them sometimes to do some strange things. I'm not saying we want all those strange things. We don't want all the weird manifestations, but we want everything that's of the Holy Spirit. Let's have it. Bring it on. So, yes, pray until 3 o'clock in the afternoon with person after person after person after person healed. Pastor Clive was... We went out for lunch just afterwards. I was just about conscious. It was more like tea. Yeah. They'd made the original appointment, I think, for 1:30. And then they rang and said, make it 2. And a little bit later, they made it 2:30. And eventually, they just said, we're going to be late. I think we finally got there about 3:15. Because we got out quick after that. I was pretty shattered, that must be said. But I was with Jonathan Croft and Clive Urquhart. And we just had a nice lunch together. But they were delighted I think what Clive said to me, he said it in a text later, it was wonderful that you just allowed God to do whatever he wanted to do. He loved that freedom. That's what we're about, isn't it? It's hearing God, putting it into action. And I know we've overused this example almost, but that's when God stopped the worship to say, who needs a washing machine? He wants us to be ready to respond to unusual things. Who would have believed at Kingdom Faith, where we treasure worship and the presence of God so much, that the Lord would interrupt the worship and tell you to stand up and say, who needs a washing machine? It was bizarre, but it was God doing it in a bizarre way to get our attention. Yeah, and lo and behold, there was someone that needed a washing machine. Yeah, and I don't know if you know, but the family that who got the washing machine, it was Brian and Charlotte. Brian, of course, had just given up work for the Lord, to work for the Lord with no income, and then his washing machine doesn't work. And then the Lord brings in a washing machine by an unusual route. Yeah, it's great. I've got to keep using that example because I find it so funny. Yeah, washing machines. Fully charismatic it is. Has a special Holy Spirit mode where it shakes a lot. Hallelujah. You know, I haven't actually got to what I was going to speak on. But you had the sermon on Christmas. And I was going to talk on 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 and Mary and Zechariah, but I think that's going to have to be for another day now. I hope what you have got is a bit of encouragement. Yes. The thing is, though, and this is the serious bit, when healing is happening, we have to be on our guard. Because we're pressing forward to see everyone healed. But we need to remember that at the moment our experience is that not everybody is. So we need to have special love and concern for those who are not. Because the thing is, they can end up, a person in that situation can end up feeling second class. Oh, I haven't had my healing. There's nothing to do with it at all. Okay, let's not even go there. So we need to especially look after those who have still got things going on. I think it's probably, maybe it's even one of the reasons I've still got stuff going on, because I get too arrogant without it. Maybe. I don't really think God gives us things, but he allows things to be used in our lives to purify us. So let's be especially compassionate for those who are not healed. We need to be right. We mustn't get in the position of ever thinking or that they haven't got enough, oh, they haven't got enough faith, and looking down on them. You know, there's no judgment in the kingdom. So important that we've really got to get that, because the more healings we see, the more it's going to happen. There'll be people that don't, and very often they go away not only sick but feeling like they've failed. I want them to go away knowing that they succeeded because they dared stand forward for it. They dared to sit on the chair. It may not have happened that time, but they dared to have a go. And that's far better than just sitting there doing nothing. Let's be all the people that dare to have a go. Dare to do weird washing machine type incidents. So that's one thing we've got to be careful on. The other thing is that's going on, and is when you're dealing with miracles, and we are seeing miracles. Oh, I've forgotten it. I was going to tell you a story. There was a creative miracle. I can't remember what it was. There was somebody who had, for the problem to have been solved, there had to have been a creative miracle. That's where something is created in the person's body that was missing. But I can't for the life of me even remember what it is now. But as these things are happening, we are tapping into spiritual realms that are deep. All right? So we also need to be on our guard. This is not a time to let up in prayer. All right? It's not a time. We need to be praying for one another. You need to be praying for me and my family particularly. We've seen a lot of attack. Nigel saw a load of attack when he came back from the Congo. Why? Because we're also living in such victory. All right? But are you ready? I mean, we were singing this morning. Thank you, Keith. We were singing this morning, I bow down. And I surrender all is what we're singing. Really? Are you ready to surrender all? Are you ready to give up anything that God asks you to give up? To take hold of what he's doing right now? It's not convenient. I'm not going to have a call forward or anything. And just know that the Lord wants us to think about this. Because it's a cost. You know, we may have to establish some victories in prayer. Are you ready? I give you all. If the Lord says this afternoon, sell your house and give all the money that you have to the poor. He did say it to a rich young man once. Would you? God, I'd be challenged, wouldn't you? I hope he doesn't. Because I'm loving my new house. I think by the grace of God I'd get there and say yes. I wouldn't say yes straight away. I wish I could say I could, but I wouldn't. But I would. I'd get there. Give away your car. I'm saying these material things because we're a materialistic people, let's face it. You know, we live in the richest 5% of the world. What is it? We're still the fourth most prosperous country in the world. So even the poorest amongst us is actually wealthy. And the average daily income is, I think, $1.29. How much more do you have per day than that? I know our outgoings are pretty bad too, you know, but we are wealthy. We are the rich young men, even those of us that don't always feel it. Are you ready for that kind of thing? Are you ready to persevere past when that person upsets you? Because when the Spirit of the Lord is moving in a house, things get revealed. Things come up. Often people run away because the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to get this sorted because I want you to flow in so much more, and this is getting in the way. Come on, let's get it out of the way. Let's get it dealt with. It's going to happen. You will feel like not turning up to Sunday church. You will. If the enemy loves just to make people feel tired and play on their natural tiredness. Are you ready to pay a price and say, no, I'm in this. I'm in this with Team Kingdom Faith. I'm in this, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and he has planted me in that church. And I follow, and I don't say this lightly, I follow Pastor Paul Abel because that's who God has placed there. I follow him in Christ. Paul wrote, imitate me. Imitate me as I am in Christ. Leadership is very important. We have some fantastic leadership in this church. It's a terrible responsibility when you're in leadership when you realize that what you're like is what people will copy. Oh, right, okay. Need to get that sorted then, don't I? But let me tell you something. If you're sitting here this morning, you're a leader, including the young people in this room, because that's why you're here at this time, because there's lots more people coming and you will be an example to them. That's why the Lord has put you here. Kay is a leader. She's an example to others. She's a perseverer. She doesn't let go. She keeps going whatever comes against her. She's a brilliant example. There's people in here that go through stuff. And we're going to, but we will pray and we will overcome. If we're more than conquerors, there's going to be stuff to conquer. If we're victors, there's going to be stuff to have victory over. And there'll be times when we need to use the prayer text line that Chris so marvellously oversees. What a patient man. All that stuff coming to his phone that he sent. It would drive me crazy. I could do it for about 6 days and that would be it. I'd be throwing the phone out the window. You know? It's marvellous that he does that. It's just such a key ministry. Yeah, good. Thank you. Clap him. Honour him. You know? I sometimes think when I get a text through, oh, not another one. I didn't have to forward it. I didn't have to do anything with it. He had to do all that part, you know. And yet then you read it and you think, thank God that got sent through. Father, I just, and yeah, most of them I pray for instantly because otherwise I'll forget, you know. And sometimes if I don't say to you, how's this going with this situation, it's because I got the text, I prayed for it and moved on because if otherwise they become overwhelming. You know, they do. So you just take hold of it, pray for it, release the victory for the thing. So use that as well. Use it wisely. Don't overuse it. Or it does start to get that people don't want it. You know, if you're releasing absolutely everything you come across on it, use your Holy Spirit wisdom. But do use it. And sometimes you don't want to use it. There's other things you just want to call a few friends to pray for. And that's fine too. That's absolutely great. You might just want to get your life team involved in it or a couple of your friends involved. Come on, I need to see victory in this situation. This is just kind of the practical side of the Miracle Valley that we're in. The spiritual side of what's going to be happening. You know, because you will, in 2014, probably every single person sitting here in this room will at least once and probably more times think, I've had enough, I'm leaving church. All right? Just letting you have that now. Because there's going to be more to do and more happening and more work. But also, your reward in heaven is going to be awesome. It's going to be pretty good here too, actually. It's going to be a lot of excitement and a lot of adventure. We're going to see more and more miracles, more and more healings. Who would have dreamed last year even, 2012, we'd be seeing this many healings now? Who would have dreamed we'd have seen the kind of thing that we thought it took James Maloney, the metal plates, to happen, would just happen on a Sunday morning? And you think that's not just that's happened and things are still increasing, still increasing, still increasing. This is a very important core team. So let's look after one another. And those that do grow weary, you know, maybe they aren't there. Let's encourage them. Let's encourage them. Don't let the enemy pick people off. Whenever you feel like I can't face church, it's 98% of the time, it's the enemy. There are times when you're on holiday or you're doing something different or you need to be with your family, and of course. But 98% of the time, it's the enemy trying to take you away. Because if you can get you away, everything seems so much bleaker and so much worse, and you don't want to get back in amongst those people. Who do you think's making you feel like that? Those people are your family. Those people are your encouragers. Okay, you probably don't get on with absolutely every one of them, but actually they're all a bunch of treasure. Well, I've done about 4 sermons in one morning and not actually done the one that I thought I was going to do. Praise God. We're going to stop, but with everything that we're flowing in, as we go into coffee time, Claire, if you could come and play on the keyboard. If anybody needs a miracle or healing, come forward. Myself or maybe one of the team will stand with you to see that healing released. We're not going to pray for you because we're not just about blessing you. We're about seeing healing happen. Remember, it was only after the 72 had been used for all the healing and the demon casting out that they said, can you teach us how to pray? Seeing someone healed is easier than saying the Lord's Prayer. Wow. We've just made it hard because of a religious way of thinking.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.